Welcome to Season 2 of Convos with QVIC, a podcast where queer community leaders at the University of Victoria talk about their queer identities, coming out, resources for queer residents and students, and all things LGBTQ+ related. I'm Senior Community Leader Joe, and I'll be your host, along with a wide variety of special guest CLs. Before we get started, we just wanted to acknowledge and respect the Lekwungen peoples on whose traditional territory the University of Victoria stands on, and the Songhees, Esquimalt, and Wasanich people whose historical relationship with this land continues to this day, and also to recognize that we live, work, and play on unceded territory that is not ours. Hello and welcome back to Convos with QVIC. For our 17th episode, we're going to be talking about sexuality and Catholic education with special guest CL Quinn from the Lansdowne neighborhood.
Hey, hello, Quinn. What are we going to be talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about sexuality in Catholic education.
Okay, cool. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Quinn. I am a CL here in Lansdowne.
Lansdowne.
And I use he, him pronouns.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
And of course.
Yeah, let's get started.
Yeah. So I think a very good preface is like to emphasize that for the past 13 years of my life before university, I was in a Catholic Christian kind of school system, really Catholic, but like what I'm going to talk about does apply also outward to a lot of other denominations of Christianity. And this also isn't meant to be like, religion is bad, I don't like it, it's stinky. This is actually more so a discussion on the ways it can be better and it can be improved within the education system. Because I personally found a great benefit in my private schooling in a Catholic system.
It was a private Catholic school?
It was private Catholic. That's another important thing to note. Thank you. Yeah. I found a really great benefit in it because I felt very supported by my teachers. I felt like I had a really good community around me in the staff and support systems there. But there were a lot of really big failings that really led to a lot of toxicity and negativity in the student body.
Totally.
And I think what's important to recognize is the issues that come from promoting a certain types of environments in your populace. And I think the first thing to talk about is like some people like to say, oh, it's a myth. Schools, like Catholic schools, won't tell you about sexuality. Those people are wrong. They do not teach you. They teach you, like, you can have sex. Sex is a thing, but you should only have it when you're in a marriage.
Yeah.
And like, yes, cool, great. But how does it work?
Totally.
They don't talk. The only time I learned about female anatomy was in my grade 12 biology class.
Yeah.
Like, that's already totally a huge failing.
No, we did. So yeah, for context, I went to a public Catholic school. So in Ontario, all Catholic schools are public, which means that they can be regulated like under the government.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't say really crazy stuff. So it's generally less conservative. And also a lot of people will go there just because my town, generally the Catholic schools were a little bit safer. So there were a lot of non-Catholic people at the school as well. But I did go to a Catholic school. And yeah, same thing. We learned about anatomy and biology. They split the boys and the girls. But we had 1 week of sex education in grade 9. We did sex education, the girls and the boys. So I went to co-ed.
Yeah.
Whereas I know you went to...
all guys.
All
yeah.
guys.
Whole other issue itself.
Yeah. The guys got to play soccer that week, which I was a little pissy about. But we learned about how STDs will kill us. And I was like, cool. So we did 4 days of STDs and then 1 day of gotta be abstinent until marriage.
So cute.
Yeah.
At least you got to know about STDs.
That's true.
What we got at my school was basically like, it was 1 day in grade 8. Some random like Catholic preacher comes in, or like he's like the youth director of something. I can't even remember. And he's just like, oh, well, marriage and sex, good. Marriage and no sex in marriage, bad.
Yeah.
Or sorry, did I say that right?
I think so. I think you did.
Sex and no marriage. Yes,
sex
I did.
Sex and no marriage.
Sex and
bad.
No marriage, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. Is there anything else? And they're like, no. And
it's like, you're good to go.
You're good to go. And you're going to tell, because my school had a huge intake. Like, always has a huge intake in like grade 8. And that's why they save it till then.
Okay.
Because it's basically, you do like your X number of years in elementary. And you can do the elementary at the school, but it's...
Oh, Okay.
Yeah. So the school itself was K-12, mm-hmm. but most people came after grade 7. We didn't really have a middle school system.
Oh, okay. Wait, so your high school started in grade 8?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Like they called it the middle school, but it really wasn't. It was just high school starting at grade 8.
Okay.
And that's when they would do like their big sex yeah. talk. And like, obviously there's no need to like separate guys and girls because it's all guys school. Yeah. But now you've sent out 150 guys, or at least male presenting people, because yeah. There have been like obviously people who further identified as non-binary after yeah. the experience, so it's a whole different story. But 150-ish, 130 mm-hmm. male presenting people out into the world with very little sex education.
Yeah.
And it goes about as bad as you can possibly imagine. Thankfully, hashtag Ace Kang saved me. And I'll get into that a little bit yeah. more, like the experience of being Ace in a Catholic school system a little bit, but mm-hmm. like it was just so bad. Like
it's wild.
The lack of what people in my school knew and still know to this day is shocking. Like I personally didn't have a great sex education until coming to university and taking and shout out to the best course offered at UVic, Healthy Sexuality, Health 251.
Did that? Yeah.
Such a great course. I benefited so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really leaves kids like there's such focus on like abstaining from saying the word sex and talking mm-hmm. about like the intricacies of sex and safe sex even. Like it wasn't even like a pro abstinence. It was just like have sex when you're married. That's it.
Yeah. Did you get those little every year they would do this field trip to Ottawa for like the pro-life march, which people would go just for a trip to Ottawa.
Yeah.
And like I'm like it was just like a 5-hour drive to Ottawa from my hometown. And they would give these like little like fetus like kind of like, you know, the squishy things. They were so gross. I hated them so much. They freaked me out. But they would like, yeah, throw them around. But it was so weird because my school was co-ed, we had a really, really bad pregnancy problem. The year above me, like everyone with like pregnancy packs, like all of that kind of stuff. Like girls would tell their boyfriends that they were on birth control so that they wouldn't wear condoms and they'd get pregnant. And the guys didn't understand how like sex worked, so they wouldn't wear condoms. And then everyone was getting pregnant. And obviously, like, I don't know how many people got abortions, how many didn't. I don't know. None of my business. But yeah, by the time that like the end of my grade 11 year, a bunch of the grade 12 or like 8-9 months
no.
pregnant. You know, it was spicy. It was weird times.
That is very absolutely wild. I don't know if it just wasn't talked about. We never had like any pregnancy scares that I was aware of.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cocaine problem. That's a separate issue.
Yeah. Damn.
Wealth disparity be like, your school has a weed problem. Now it has a cocaine problem.
Oh, God.
The kids would sneak off to the washrooms. And neither here nor there. But it was a time.
Catholic schools were wild, man.
Catholic schools are so wild. Oh, my gosh. But, like being queer in that system was so yeah. odd
yeah.
because like, again, I'm not like, I'm still learning quite a bit about myself, but I know I'm not explicitly like homo romantic. I believe mm-hmm. personally I'm pan romantic, but I'm still exploring right now and trying to learn yeah. more about myself.
Nice.
But everyone just assumed I was gay in the school. And it's a rapid trend throughout my life. Everyone always assumes I am gay. That is what I am. They like to stereotype me, put me in a neat little box yeah. and at the Catholic education, because gay is a bad word. You shouldn't be it. And they didn't outwardly say that yeah. but like everyone would bully me for it mm-hmm. and it was just nasty little things that wouldn't hurt most people mm-hmm. but because I just didn't have that experience at the time, because I knew there was something different about me at the time, didn't really process yeah. that, like it was hurtful to be singled out in the halls and have people pick mm-hmm. on me, and the school administration wouldn't do much about it, so I mm-hmm. learned to just stop talking about it.
Did you have any like queer role models that like you knew personally?
I'm really thankful for this, and this is maybe part of the reason why it hit me differently, because I learned that it's not a bad thing to have. My mom, like we had really good family friends who were a queer couple, and they were really
nice.
I didn't spend a whole lot of time with like it one-on-one with them, but just having the general influences of like
yeah.
having knowing queer folk around me mm-hmm. normalized being queer
yeah.
And I was never raised in an environment where it was like it's bad to be, because mm-hmm. like although I went to a Catholic school, I wasn't explicitly I'm not explicitly Catholic. I don't
yeah.
really know what I believe in at the end of the day right now. I think that's a a fair place for to be just in the weird transitioning period that is university personally. I had that influence. So I was coming from a much more diverse perspective, mm-hmm. and a little bit of a lower class perspective than a lot of my peers. Yeah. So it was really, really weird to see like just a lot of like use of words that you should not use. Like just like using gay as a pejorative and using a word that I don't believe is appropriate for any podcast ever.
Yeah, no. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think anyone who has a bit of nuance can understand what I meant with that one. But it was just so nasty that they would throw things out. And then when I was like coming to terms with being ace, I kind of used it as a shield. I'm like, oh no, I'm asexual. And then they started making fun of me for that and like saying some really nasty things with it.
Which is like kind of funny because like being ace, like you think that the Catholic school system would be like, yay, right? Good job. But instead they're like, boo, gay.
I know.
It's like, what do you want from me?
And it was just so fascinating because like I would never tell my teachers anything about my sexuality because it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But when my classmates started to figure it out and piece things together, they'd be like, oh, do you asexually reproduce? Are you going to cellular divide? And I'm like, that's the worst. That's the worst insult I've ever had.
Gross.
B, how fucking dare you? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it wound up confusing people enough that they didn't really get it. And so things just kind of stopped and no one would like bully me for it because I'm like, I'm asexual. Deal with it. And because they're in such a close-minded, like that you are straight, you are gay, no nuance, no idea of any sort of spectrum. Yeah. It just confused the hell out of them. But it was just, it was so weird. Like I would go to administration at the very least to talk about this problem. Mm-hmm. Like I had some really bad things happened there. I remember like incidents that were caught on camera. There were witnesses for, there was like postings on my locker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it would all be on camera in clear hallways. And they would just be like, we didn't find anything. There's nothing there.
That's brutal.
I'm like, can I see? And they're like, no.
Yeah, no.
So I learned really quickly, like, I was told to trust my teachers and that they'll always be my advocates. And like, the administration is there for me.
Yeah.
But they weren't, because they didn't care about my issues at the end of the day. They cared about keeping their school image, which I think is more tied to it being a private school than a Catholic school.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very lucky in the sense, I think, because my Catholic school was a public school, that outwardly the teachers had to be queer affirming. They couldn't say that they were like against people being queer. I think there were a few teachers that thought that but would never say it aloud, and I think the vast majority were like pretty like chill and okay with it. And there was like quite a largely queer group in the school, and so a lot of my friends are queer and a lot of people were outwardly queer. And like when my friend Alex came out as trans AFAB, everyone started using his like correct pronouns and all of that kind of stuff,
great.
Which was super awesome. So I find that even though I went to a Catholic school, I don't have a lot of the same experiences as people who went to Catholic schools in BC, just because I didn't get the whole like homophobia, that kind of stuff. Everyone was very chill about it.
Yeah.
You know? Did you find there was a large like queer group of people, like students in your school? There was people like pretty much closeted until they like left.
So there were like three kids, and that's counting myself, who at the time was like not super open about things. And like, so like they're the three kids who kind of like knew, people knew were like of a queer identity. There were two gay kids and there was me, and like I didn't really get along with them in the first place. So it was mostly closet. Like there was no talks about it, like, because you're at an all guys Catholic school, like if you're gender questioning, that's a horrible environment to be in. Because there's like, I remember so vividly in my elementary school, and there are news articles about this, you can find out what elementary school I went through. I'm doxing myself here technically, but there was a huge controversy at my elementary school because a child came out as trans, and she was kicked out of the school.
Seriously?
Midway through the year, kicked out of the school because she identified as trans and wanted to transition.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
That is horrible. Oh my God.
It's actually awful. And it's something that like, I was in grade 3 at the time when this happened. Like she was just a year below me, and it was just insane.
Well, what kind of message does that give to the other students? Especially when you're like of that age, like you don't really know what's going on, but you subconsciously are like, okay, so transitioning is bad. Okay. And you like, put that away in your little brain, and then you don't realize it until you're older, like, oh, that was fucked, you know?
Exactly. And there's so many memories like that that I just look back on. I'm like, that is fucked. Yeah. It was a big thing in our school that, like, oh, we have people of the Muslim faith here, we have people of the Jewish faith here. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be Catholic. But then if you go on to our school's website and look at any positions that open up, you got preferential hiring if you're Catholic and you're yeah. and you have a letter from your priest.
Oh, yeah. No, same. If you want to mm-hmm. teach at a Catholic school in Ontario, you need a letter from a priest to say mm-hmm. that you need to be, but well, like, so you're a part of
it's not
church.
It's not required. Okay. It's just recommended. You get preferential hiring. And so a lot of, like, this is, again, another personal hot take. Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of really Catholic identifying teachers, like, sometimes you'd have, like, the really chill teachers who obviously weren't super duper Catholic. They were hired because they were the best fit for the position.
Yeah. Or even, like, the more, like, kind of progressive Catholic, because there mm-hmm. is, like, a huge spectrum. But
yeah, exactly. You're totally right there. Yeah. But there's, like, there's a lot of staunchly Catholic teachers at the school, or staunchly yeah. Christian teachers at the school, who didn't have really, like, they wouldn't say it, like you said.
Yeah.
But there would be the underlying message of they don't really get it, or they don't really agree with it. Just, like, to go on one hand to say, like, we support, like, all sorts of identities yeah. and faiths and beliefs and who you are. And then to put up that forced diversity to show that. But then, for instance, they would aggressively push, like, the pro-life, they'd aggressively push the pro-life protests without explaining what they were.
Yeah.
So you'd have, like, I remember my brother really wanted, because it was, you come to Victoria, which, I mean, like,
oh, was it?
Okay, yeah, nice. That doesn't feel like much of a trip nowadays.
I love it. I'm here for it.
I know, because, well, that's where our parliament building is, right?
That's true.
So you'd go on the ferry, you'd eat ferry food, and it was kind of like exciting. Oh, we're going on a day trip. Wow, it's so exciting. Yeah.
Well, that's what people in high school would do for Ottawa. They would do it as a free trip to Ottawa, you know?
And like you said, no one, like, people don't know what they're getting into, because no one's actually explaining, like, come on this field trip. And my mom, bless her heart and soul, my brother wouldn't listen, because he's his own human being. Yeah. He does whatever he wants. But, like, my mom, like, really sat down, me and my sister, when, like, it was art, when it was being pushed on us, and they were like, so, I just want to make sure you know what's happening here. And because I was around for it was happening with my sister, I kind of knew about it. And, like, oh, I don't want to go to that. I don't, it's not my personal belief, and that's my personal belief at the end of the day. So it's just really funny, but, like, they always, like, push, like, it's this fun day trip, and there's an entire pro-life club at that school. Yeah. And it's an all guys Catholic school. Who gives them the right to have a say on female anatomy?
Literally, though. Really funny.
You ever see the all-guys Catholic school in their uniforms showing up to a protest in front of your parliament building being like, yeah, I don't support women's rights?
Oh my god, yeah. No, it's insane. And I find, like, yeah, it's like they never gave us the full amount of the information. My mom was always mm-hmm. very pro-choice. My mom is very progressive, mm-hmm. Which I really am very thankful. Because I know a lot of my friends that I grew up with who didn't have parents like that. Mm-hmm. And so she was always like, yeah, very much like taught me about pro-choice, and I was like, hell yeah. And then when I got a bit older, I was like, okay, like, I'm very much the type of person that I like to see both sides of the story of how it is, and then mm-hmm. make my decision. I was like, I grew up pro-choice. Okay, so I ended up going to a speech, like, talk or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like 17, 18 about, like, pro-life. And I'm like, okay, let's see what they have to say. And, like, literally, they gave, like, a bunch of, like, pamphlets and stuff, and they were, like, citing all of these facts and stuff, and I was like, I don't know if this is true. And, like, I went online after, and all of, like, the facts and statistics they gave me, like, literally did not exist. Like, they were not real. And
oh,
I was
gosh.
Like, what the hell? So I was like, I was very much I'm in the mindset of, like, any of my opinions, I'm, like, okay to be swayed mm-hmm. if you give me a good enough reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, clearly you don't have a good enough reason. So, like,
right? It feels a lot of the time that, like, these schools are pushing the, we want to support you, but we have beliefs that are other than, and we don't want to deviate from them because that's wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's my issue with just the idea of Catholic schooling, is that it's inherently, like, we have mandatory religion classes and they only talk about, until grade 12 for us, because that became, like, a general philosophy course at the end of the day.
We did grade 12 philosophy instead.
Okay, yeah. But it was just, like, like, this is the religion. It's the only religion. Believe in it. We're right.
Yeah. Another thing about, okay, having public schools. So yeah, grade 12, it was the philosophy for us. Mm-hmm. But grade 11, we had, it was mandatory for us to take world religions class. So we learned about, learned about Islam, Judaism, Sikhism, Jainism, indigenous spirituality, and Buddhism. And one other. And so we had to, like, we literally, we did like 2 weeks on each. So it was very, very much like just skimming it. But it because like the Ontario government wanted us to learn about other religions so that we wouldn't be like, there's only one way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it was mandatory for us in grade 11. And I love that course. It was such a fun course. We got to go to a Sikh temple.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dope. It was so cool.
See, now that I'm thinking on it, maybe ours was also like our grade 12 was like world religion combined with philosophy. But it was always very heavily Catholic-y. Like, we didn't do anything like go on a trip to like a Sikh temple to explore further religions. Just, but like, it's such a curse to be like, this is what they do, and here's what we believe in, and it's better, and you should believe in us.
Exactly. Or even like, I don't know if you got this of like, even just like against like other like Christian like denominations, like Protestantism or Eastern Orthodox. I always got like Martin Luther's like 94, was it 94 thesis?
It was 94, 96.
90 something. 96. Yeah. How 90
we learned theses. So much
and I remember like being taught like, ooh, Luther was bad, look at him, he was rebelling, and now I identify as Protestant and I'm Luther. Yeah, he was awesome. He was trying to like revolutionize, he was being dope and shit, and I remember just thinking he was just a horrible person growing up, and now I think he's a badass man, and I'm just like, how was I like so like like even like pinning us against our like people in our own religion,
it's
just
so
different denominations.
Insane. Yeah. I remember like we had such a brief cursory talk, it was even in religion, it was in social studies because which obviously English history is the most important history and we won't talk about any of the problematic nature of it.
Obviously.
Also, shout out to your school for talking about indigenous spiritualism, because that's nothing. Does not exist at our school. My school was like associated with like the Catholic Brothers of Edmund Rice.
I have no idea what that is.
It's just basically like a fellowship of like male all guys Catholic schools around the globe.
Okay.
And so all guys Catholic schools around the globe. Edmund Rice is kind of cool. If you read up on him, he's actually kind of a neat figure. Okay. But like, there's just something wrong about like creating a Catholic school that sort of, I mean this in the nicest way possible, but if they're all K-12 and they're all about spreading the religion of Catholicism across the world and kind of forcing that belief in there, and like, it's not like Canada has a history of forcing certain religious beliefs upon a certain group of people, and so a global approach of that done by a specific organization, and I want to assume they have the best intentions, but who's to say that the people in Canada didn't believe they had the best intentions?
Well, exactly. Just the Pope and like that whole system is just like a modern day representation of colonialism, just like William and Kate going to, I think it was Jamaica last week. Like, they're just like people that we can see today that are like directly benefiting from colonialism, right?
Oh, it's so awful.
And so like, if the Catholic Church doesn't apologize for like doing horrible, horrible things to the indigenous
crimes,
so many crimes, so many atrocities, then like they're assholes. Which,
you know, things on the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, exactly. But then if they do apologize for it, then I think it was, then they are basically saying that they're responsible for all those things and it can break down the whole system. And they, then the indigenous people can like demand reparations and all of that kind of stuff. And so like the Pope is in this like rock in a hard place.
It makes me think on the Pope as well as a subject. I remember like grade six, it was this cool live stream. We were watching, the new Pope is going to happen. Like, Pope is dropping.
Well, and everyone was like, Pope Francis, he's so progressive. He's going to do good things.
And then like, and at first, I would say like in his early days of being Pope, he was actually like, he was doing things that were not normally seen with in the church.
Totally.
But then as things seem to progress, he almost started to, he seems like he's backpedaling lately. Yeah. And he's doubling back on what he said. And so like, it was great and now it's bad again. But it was really always bad.
Yeah. Or even like, what was it that like he, like people really thought he was going to be more accepting of queer people. And then super isn't.
Sorry, it's just the funny, the main denomination of the Catholic Church being, or interest Christianity in general, being anything accepting.
Yeah. It's like, oof.
I love the more progressivism we are seeing in some people, but just the majority is painful.
Yeah, it's very oof.
I want more, I want, at the end of the day, to, like, really be a member of a church at the end, because I believe that, like, I like to believe in spirituality and having a higher presence. I think it feels good to me, but I can't support a lot of the current systems because of atrocities, gay rights, and just a whole slew of other really problematic things that, like, it's like most institutions, it's an old one that needs change, but they refuse to because of tradition.
Exactly.
And it's really hurtful to me. At the end of the day, that they end up violating their core tenet. Like, the core tenet of Christianity is treat others as you wish to be treated.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't. Mm-hmm. Because do you want to be treated as being oppressed, as being less than, as being inferior and wrong?
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, I think people forget that, like, I don't know, Jesus was a homie. Like, Jesus was very, very radically a socialist. Very, very, like, honestly, like, him and Peter, I don't know, maybe some gay stuff was going on. That's just my opinion.
Jesus by icon?
I'm, like, straight up, I'm pretty sure, like,
bicon.
And I don't know, I think we just forget the root.
Yeah, it's almost like, this is just my own funny personal, like, understanding of things. Mm-hmm. I always like to think of, like, the Old Testament is existing. Then Jesus is like, hey guys, it ain't great. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I almost want to say we need another try again, but not for the books themselves.
Yeah.
Just for, like, the religion.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, just quick shout out to another thing from my Catholic school of never talking about any of the any of the women in the Bible.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's not like there's an entire book dedicated to women in the Bible and it's completely forgotten about. I feel bad and I can't remember it and I bring it up as a point. Ruth and her mother, Naomi?
Yeah. Yeah, the Book of Ruth.
Yeah, they're sick.
Yeah. Dope. Also, shout out to Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
The power queen.
Isn't there like a book that she wrote specific, like
maybe.
I remember, because it's considered non-canonical by the church, which, I mean, like, is the church its own fan fiction multiverse if it's something can be non-canonical?
Literally.
But I believe I remember, like, it was just very briefly discussed on something I've always come back in my head, I want to check this out, but I never wind up doing it, is that there is a book from Mary Magdalene.
I think there is. Let's research that.
Let's research that. Am I going to pull up my phone right now in the middle of the podcast to be like, Book of Mary Magdalene?
Oh yeah.
I just want to confirm if it exists and then try and do some more research on it, because it's like, there are women in the Bible and they have a really relevant feature. Like, Jesus wasn't like, oh yeah, all the guys, all the parables, they're about men.
Yeah.
It's not like the women in the coin was a parable. It's not like, again, Ruth and Naomi exist in the Bible. It's
so many girl bosses.
So many girl bosses without the gaslighter gatekeep.
Literally.
Yeah, the Gospel of Mary is a non-canonical text discovered in 1896 in a 5th century papyrus codex written in, and I'm not going to say that right.
No worries.
But yeah, it's popularly known as the Gospel of Mary, but is not classified as a gospel.
Very interesting.
And it is most arguments are in favor of it being Mary Magdalene, but there's like a whole bunch of different things around it.
Funky fresh.
I've had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, this has been so good.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Quinn. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Convos with QVic. Make sure you come back to check out our next episode. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, please let anyone on the QVic staff know, either in person for UVic residents at our events, which are run from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sundays in the Rug, or message us on our Facebook or Instagram pages. See you around campus.